This
is Mythical.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. From Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans, they've got you covered.
Heck yeah, they do. Their products come in a variety of amazing colors, from classic black and white to pinks, greens, yellows, and blues. And the best part, Nicole, everything's non-toxic.
Josh, I've been in the market for a kettle for months.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a weird amount.
Yeah, I've bought like a bunch, returned a bunch, but I just got my hands on the Great Jones Fellow Kettle collab, and I got it in the color broccoli, and I'm so excited to make artisanal teas and coffees. I'm trying to get on my coffee game right now, and I'm so excited to use a gooseneck kettle. We have no idea.
I'm excited to use their yellow hot dish, aka casserole dish. Shout out to Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota. I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm an adult, I should have nice vessels to serve food out of.
Sure, fair.
Instead of just serving it on like stainless steel restaurant style things. And I like it. It's cute. It's got a good design. Bakes really well. Holds heat. I'm in, baby. And once you try Great Jones, you'll want to share it with friends. They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays, it's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life.
So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old, rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code SANDWICH. That's greatjones.com, promo code SANDWICH.
You know what, Nicole? I could really go for a Pop-Tart right now.
I don't think my father, the inventor of toaster strudel, would be too pleased to hear about that.
Morris Hendizadeh invented the toaster strudel?
You've never seen Mean Girls, have you?
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. I'm your host, Aaron Samuels.
And I'm your host, Gretchen Wieners.
And Mean Girls really is one of the formative early 2000s comedies. Like, I'm going to be showing my grandchildren that the same way that my dad showed me Blazing Saddles.
That's so fetch.
That is fetch. Speaking of fetch, Nicole, did you know Toaster Strudel once did a limited time offering of Mean Girls themed Toaster Strudel?
Oh, that makes sense.
And they featured the word fetch on the packaging. So
Huge. She
was right to have not stopped trying to make fetch happen.
It happened.
And it did literally happen, thanks to Pillsbury and Toaster Strudel. But today, Nicole, we're not discussing the merits of Tina Fey and, what's that guy, Tim Meadows' role in Mean Girls.
He's the principal,
He's
right?
the principal, and Tim Meadows crushes that freaking role,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
No, we are discussing Pop-Tarts versus Toaster Strudel. Now, these are the preeminent, not the eminent, not the post-eminent, the preeminent toaster pastries in the game right now.
Yep.
On the left side, we got Kellogg's Pop-Tarts versus Pillsbury Toaster Strudel on the right. Pop-Tarts are the original. Toaster Strudel are the usurper, literally only created in response to Kellogg's massive success with Pop-Tarts, which I believe were invented in 1964 and then went nationwide in 1965.
That's awesome.
After, of course, General Electric brought the home toaster to Americans in 1909, they were begging, Nicole, begging for a pastry to be fed into their gaping maws.
Oh, no.
To feed. Oh, strike one for Toaster Strudel, Nicole.
A little premature.
Sometimes it just happens.
Sometimes it just happens.
And all you can do is apologize and lick
I'm
it
so
off.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
What are your initial thoughts in this battle?
Well, I've always been Team Toaster Strudel.
I know you have.
Because Pop-Tarts were not allowed in my house.
Toaster Strudel?
Yeah. I don't know why.
What was the moral backlash?
Probably because this one had frosting in it, and I don't think my mom knew that these had frosting in it until it was too late and she saw me putting frosting on it.
And then the precedent was already established.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, I guess the toaster strudels are good.
That's funny. Yeah. So I grew up with whatever was on sale.
Mm-hmm.
It's really funny because I don't think when grocery shopping, we really mapped out like value versus budget, but my dad was from the era that if anything was on sale, you just bought it, even if you didn't need it.
Yeah.
And so I had sort of an equal amount of Pop-Tarts or a generic brand toaster pastry that we got from like...
Are you going to get me like a towel or something?
Oh my...
I'm sorry. It just felt really natural. You could go.
I saw the glint in your eye and I was like, what's she about to say right now?
I'm so sorry.
No, listen, if you get your frosting on somebody, it is your job to help them clean up.
I love this podcast. Get
All right. So Should we dig in? Like, yeah, really discuss culinarily what's
just
happening?
Just so you know, the Pop-Tarts I put in the oven toaster for like 2 minutes, and then the toaster shooter I put in for like 2.5 minutes.
Well, so that's like, to me, a strike off of toaster strudel.
Why?
Right off the bat, because it takes longer. Because this is obviously a breakfast of convenience.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. Just because you can have it raw or like unhot or you can whatever does not make it better. Okay. The toaster strudel
is one aspect.
Hot,
it's one aspect.
No, the toaster strudel is a hot, thick pocket of love. And I love it so much. These are like the Pop Tarts like dinky. They're like little dinky, like, do you hear this? Dinky. Listen.
Did you say hot pocket of love?
That's okay. A toaster strudel is just a hot pocket.
I mean, I guess it's very similar. And also, toaster strudels did make something called toaster scrambles.
That's the point for it.
No, toaster scrambles are not included in the toaster strudel.
Okay,
we cannot.
Yes, they are.
No, I fully believe they're not. Are we eating these?
Yeah, I'm eating a Pop-Tart. Looks like we got the strawberry frosted Pop-Tart. Not my favorite Pop-Tart. More of a brown sugar cinnamon girl.
You know how human memory is like very unreliable?
Okay.
I think that all of human thoughts and experiences, likes and dislikes, are incredibly unreliable.
Okay, memento.
Right? No, for real, for real, for real. I don't think we can divorce it from positive memories we've had, from marketing campaigns, okay, right? From how we want to be perceived in the world. If you were to take an uncontacted tribe... Sentinel Island.
Okay.
There's a tribe on Sentinel Island, Nicole. Never been contacted. People try and contact a missionary. Tried to go there. Boom. Arrow right to the face.
I
They're
love
like,
that.
Get the fudge out.
I actually really like that.
Respect the Sentinelese people. Come on the podcast. If you were to take both of these products to an uncontacted tribe, I don't think they'd be like, ooh, Pop-Tarts are better. I don't think anybody in the right mind would.
Have you even tried to try the toaster strudel?
Let me eat a toaster strudel.
Are you
not frosting
yours?
It? Can you frost mine for me?
Sure.
Or do you need somebody to be assigned to frost your... That's
no.
A reference to Mean Girls. Maggie gets it.
I don't get it.
I really
what do you want me to draw on
just, here? Just don't draw. What are you going
to... What do you want me to draw?
I would always try and draw, but I can never rip
what do you
the
want
packaging
to draw?
Good enough. Well, I want you to draw beerbs.
Boobs?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going
to
do
I'm trying
it.
To put myself back in the mindset of being a child when I would have, like, eaten these every single day.
Are we thinking D cup?
What?
Are we thinking
I'm beauty? Inclusive. And no, just whatever, like, is like a natural. I think beauty is a natural. I think natural beauty is beautiful.
Okay. There's multiple ways this can go.
Just squirt the frosting on my damn toaster strudel.
It can either look like eyeballs or it can look like
really
a weird apple.
Perfectly shapen. What angle? It's like somebody is upside down on a roller coaster and this is how
they
would
like
be
Christmas
existing.
Wait!
I'll draw on yours. I'll draw on yours. What do you want me to draw?
Whatever you want.
Well, so that's a point for toaster strudel. If we're just sort
creative
of
creative expression.
Creative expression.
Okay, now it's like Harry Potter glasses.
Okay, I'm drawing a hot dog with two eggs.
Josh, me and you are actually 5 years old. But see, that's what toaster strudel does. It makes you feel like a child, and that's kind of special. Like Pop-Tarts, like on the go, whatever. They're sugary, they're syrupy, whatever. But see, the thing about toaster strudel, you get to play with your food a little bit, and it's fun.
In the time in which I have wasted drawing on my toaster strudel, Nicole, I could have had 3 different rental properties by now.
Did you say
I could
wasted?
Have been getting mailbox money.
Okay, so this is what
I
Josh
could have been
drew.
Out there, you know, grind setting up my LLCs.
Okay, so Josh apparently made a rocket ship with 2 eggs. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love eggs. I love rocket ships.
What did I make?
Boom, I don't
design.
Know. I just, anytime I see an abstract drawing, I just see my parents fighting.
Can you flip one over?
And I don't
know what it's the other way.
What? No, I don't you know what you, this person. Is a, I don't, I'm eating it.
Okay.
A violent red color scheme.
Okay, like this isn't violent, like the Pop-Tart isn't violent inside?
No, well.
They're the same amount of violence.
But this there's so much more goo to a toaster strudel, right? objectively, toaster strudel is a more delicious product.
Oh my God, it's so delicious.
Right? Like, there is no comparison. However, when I talk about humans not intrinsically knowing how to feel or what to think, like, I was talking to Lily earlier about drinking, like, I had a $30 cup of coffee once, right?
Yeah. I remember that story.
And I drank it. And I was like,
because it was Yemeni coffee, right?
Yeah, it was like Yemeni coffee. It was Mokhtar Alkanshali, I believe his name is. Mm-hmm. Fantastic book called The Monk of Mocha about his work. But he did a collab with Blue Bottle where he had these beans, and it wasn't $30, but I think it was like 18 to 20 whatever, or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I remember drinking it, and I'd never distrusted my own palate more because I was like, oh my God, I do taste the cherry blossom notes, Nicole. I taste young cocoa. I don't taste old cocoa or middle-aged cocoa. I taste young cocoa in
young
these
cocoa
coffee
mean?
Beans. I don't know,
is that
but
a
I drank
rapper?
It and I felt it. You know what I mean?
Huh, okay.
Where I'm going with all this is like Pop-Tarts has had such a better, more successful, more interesting marketing campaign. They've done
Are you
so many
me?
More
What's so
fun
interesting
collabs.
About it?
Do you remember the Pop-Tart commercials? The
No.
Crazy good. You don't remember? If I said crazy good, that means nothing to you.
Is that with the little like blue stripe one? Was that the purple
No, but
stripe?
The blue stripe one, I'm so glad you asked. Wildberry, and
I like
then
that
they
one.
Did a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man collab
okay,
called Spidey Berry. And so like I have all of these memories locked up in Pop-Tarts, which are objectively, it is a worse product. It's a crusty product. The edges on a Pop-Tart are like damn near inedible.
Yeah, and
you know what I mean?
I mean also look at the way that it's iced. It's iced haphazardly. Haphazard icing.
Haphazard icing. And the thing with the icing is like it's hard and crusty. It all kind of has to be because it's shoved in a toaster.
Sure.
And you're shaving like time off for convenience. I often talk about certain brands like this of mm-hmm. being like the victim of coming first.
I get that.
There's a brand called Arctic Zero ice cream that I think about a lot.
Is that the predecessor to Dippin' Dots?
To Halo Top.
Oh.
Arctic Zero said, we're going to be the Tab of ice cream. Tab was the first ever diet soda.
Sure, yeah.
Arctic Zero, and there may have been predecessor brands to it, but this is the first one that I saw. Had like 170 calories in a pint, 20 grams of protein. Mm-hmm. I was an athlete at the time. I cared about that stuff more than I do now. But I was like, I'm going to eat this. It tasted terrible.
Sure.
But it tasted like just good enough to keep eating. Halo Top comes out like...
Changes the game.
6-7 years later, and they basically got to like use all the science that Arctic Zero had figured out, use all the anecdotal market research, what people want and don't want, and Halo Top then blew them out of the water. And then Halo Top was now in a race against all of the major ice cream brands who are now coming out with their own like 270 calorie pints.
Okay.
Pop-Tarts came 20 years before Toaster Strudel.
Okay, that doesn't mean it's better. Just be okay. Hear me out.
No, you're right. I think it's worse because it came before.
Here's a thought exercise. Just because it came before doesn't mean it's better.
No.
Yeah. So it shouldn't be the best.
I'm almost saying the opposite.
Okay.
I'm saying that Toaster Strudel had 20 years to figure out a product that would beat Pop-Tart.
Good. And they did.
But they did not. Sales-wise.
Well, I'm not talking about sales-wise. I'm talking about breakfast enjoyable-wise.
I agree with that. And I agree this is a more enjoyable product.
Yeah.
If I were to go to a store right now and buy either Toaster Strudel or Pop-Tart, I would buy Pop-Tart. Because of all of the memories I have for myself, yeah.
Okay.
I would get the brown sugar cinnamon or the s'mores ones, because the s'mores ones, I mean, that was where they really jumped the shark and they're like, there ain't nothing breakfast about this anymore, baby. This is for dessert, or this is for like an intoxicated college kid coming home and they're slamming Pop-Tarts. You know what I mean? So basically, Toaster Strudel made the gamble of like, hey, we are 20 years behind. We need to make a product that is so much better than Pop-Tart
mm-hmm.
that people won't even care that they've had 20 years of market capital, of brand recognition, of campaigns on the market. And they did a pretty damn good job, but they're still losing the war.
Well, I don't think they're trying. I think they understand there's a legacy connected to Pop-Tarts. And it's really hard to be able to nudge out a legacy like that.
I agree.
So I don't think it's for nothing. I think it's a good product. But Pop-Tarts, okay, well, again, do you like tarts more or do you like strudel more?
Oh, yeah, we got to get into the etymology.
Yeah, yeah. So the actual dough, it's like a tart dough. It's like a short crust pastry, like very snappy, very like dough-like. Not dough-like, very pie-like.
Mm-hmm.
And then your toaster strudel is a little bit doughy, a little bit crispy, a little bit lighter.
So you have a lot of products have origin stories where it's like, Ruth Wakefield was a home baker and she tried to make a chocolate cookie, but then she went oopsies and spilled chocolate chips. And they have these very homey origin stories. Both of these are just like corporate suits.
And that's fine.
No, it's fine. But I'm saying there's like...
We live in a society.
But they were literally just like, we're trying to game the market right here. And Pop-Tart, so the original name wasn't Pop-Tart. It was just called, like, filled scones.
Filled scones?
So it was initially referred to as a scone. These come out in 1964, right? It hit market in, like, 1965, 66, mm-hmm. nationwide. Andy Warhol. No, this is real. Check this out. Andy Warhol, right? Campbell's Soup, Andy Warhol, 1962, I think. The pop art movement was in full swing. They literally called it Pop-Tarts to freaking get on the upswing of pop art. And that was already a genre that was like celebrating brands in this weird way. You're not even celebrating them, but, you know, just sort of understanding that these are things that have like massive recognition over us. Toaster Strudel comes out in 1985. Strudel, German. When does the Berlin Wall fall?
1989.
It is 89?
81?
89, 91, 89, 91. Berlin Wall. When did
1989? Right. Please give me 10 points.
Let me ask. Pillsbury. Pillsbury. Americans, how trustworthy? Okay, we're Jews.
I am. You are.
Maggie?
Totally.
How trustworthy do we find Germans? I'm not saying it's fair. No, hear me out. I am dead serious, though. I am dead ass serious. When marketing things to like a mass to like a mass population in America, especially in 1985, was strudel the right way to go?
Let me tell you, Germany, they do good things. They have great techno music.
I have German friends. Like no, like I'm just, but I'm saying like at the time.
Let me,
and I know West Germany at the time was like, you know, David Hasselhoff.
99 Luftballons. Nena.
It's a really heavy song, by the way. For people who don't know, 99 Luftballons.
Uh-huh.
Very, very heavy song.
It's a great song. Germans.
Just nuclear war eviscerating population.
Germans made the Mercedes-Benz. Great car.
I don't know if Germans and auto manufacturers. They make great cars. What those cars are used for is all, you know, the history.
Could still drive a Mercedes now.
No, I agree. Like, listen.
Germans have made incredible things. One of them being strudel.
I agree. So strudel, it's either German or Austrian, depending. And it's also, again, these countries didn't, like, exist.
Yeah.
Like, Prussia used to be a country. It was
so crazy to me.
It was the Austro-Hungarian Empire. What's crazy is countries that you think you know now are not going to exist in the future, right?
Really?
Macedonia changed its name to North Macedonia. You believe that?
I can't believe that.
South Sudan used to be part of Sudan.
Right? Macedonia was a part of Greece.
Yeah, there's some weird thing with Greece where Greece was like Macedonia is just part of Greece. So you got to rename yourselves North Macedonia. And they were like, it's weird, but okay.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
But anyways, the like recognition between a tart and a strudel, what do you think more Americans know of?
What do they know more of? What do you mean?
Like, which is a better marketed pastry, because this is not strudel, right? And this is not a tart. Tart is roughly the French word for pie. This is like a short crust.
Hand pie dough, yeah.
Kind of, but like if you were to ever order like a pie, like a hand pie from a restaurant and it came like this, you'd be like,
well, let me tell
you. That's a Pop-Tart.
No. I think it'd be fun if somebody made an artisanal Pop-Tart and like said like, oh, there's like.
Oh, and they have.
There's like, I don't know, like what's that one bottle that had the apple inside of it, but it was liquor?
Oh, it was a bottle of Armagnac, yeah. Right?
No, it had a cooler name than that. Come on, Josh, go in that big brain of yours.
I don't know. Calvados.
Like, imagine somebody made like a Calvados apple pear cinnamon Pop-Tart. It's classy, right?
Put a green cardamom in there or
something. Yeah. Like, I would eat that and I'd be impressed by it. But if somebody gave me a toaster strudel where I had to do my own piping, I think I would be equally impressed.
No, and I've seen bakeries make versions of both of these. like as an homage to it, especially like the homemade Pop-Tarts and whatnot. But like, do you think if this was named like a toaster tart or something?
Toaster tartlet?
Toaster tartlet.
I would eat it.
Right?
More.
Same. I think strudel. I think strudel was wrong. I don't think it is recognizable enough to an American audience, and unfairly, maybe German.
That's not true. Germans came here, and they were the largest population.
To be clear, I'm full blood German, half Jew German, and half.
You can't be full blood German.
What?
You're not full blood German.
What am I?
You're half German, half. Did you say you're like Nordic or something?
No.
What I'm are like, you?
Let's get into Josh's family lineage to discuss whether or not I can judge toaster strudel.
Before you do that, I'm 100% Persian. I'm 99.9% Persian, 0.5% Ashkenazi Jewish, 0.5% God knows what else, probably alien.
And that's just like someone else's hair fell in the little vial when you sent it in, right? Like you're full blood Persian.
I'm full-blooded Persian, which means there's probably...
Well, you're like part Tehrani inbreeding. And part...
Well, I'm Tehrani and Kashi, also known as Tashi. No one's gonna get that unless maybe like two people.
Shout out to all our Persian listeners.
Okay. There's none. Maybe like four. You were saying?
So
what are you?
Family Scherer is a very German name, sheep farmer. We've been farming sheep in the Americas since like the 1600s.
Uh-huh.
Like deep Dwight Schrute style Pennsylvania Dutch, which is Pennsylvania Deutsch, so German. Uh-huh. And like central PA. And then my other side, they were the Jewish German side. Family fled, general unrest. People have not, like, you know, Jews have gone through some stuff. Yeah, so they were German Jews, and a lot of people are like, oh, German Jewish. That's an oxymoron.
People say that about Persian Jews, too. Like, that doesn't exist.
And it's like, no, there's a reason. There's a reason we're here.
Yeah.
There's a reason we're in America.
Yeah.
So anyways, point is, I'm full German, so I can talk. It's true. What the hell are we talking about?
I'm so sorry. Why do my fingers taste kind of bitter? They don't taste good.
It tastes chemically.
My fingers taste like chemicals.
Which one of these... would you say tastes more chemically?
Oh, that's a good one. I think the artificial textures of the Pop-Tart. I'm going to go with Pop-Tart.
Yeah, these are...
nothing in nature tastes like this.
No.
But I do taste a little bit of... I taste a little bit of wheat. I taste a little bit of more strawberry-ishness in the toaster strudel.
There's something about Pop-Tarts that reeks of... we did not yet have the technology to make this delicious, right?
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
I think it's delicious, but I don't think it holds a candle to toaster strudel because of the texture and the warmth and the pocketness of, sorry, and the pocketiness of toaster strudel. I don't think it holds a candle. This is a pillowy, thick, luxurious breakfast item. The Pop-Tart is just a cardboard filled with, I don't know, boring stuff.
Do you know what strudel means?
Oh, I think it's the act of the... I think so. I think it's the act of the dough being thinned out, right? Strudeling?
What? Did you just like make something up on the spot?
No!
Did you just not want to say no?
No! I'm pretty sure that's what a strudel... strudel means like to lay out very thinly.
Strudel means whirlpool.
whenever you think about it, whenever you roll it, it looks like a whirlpool, and you can't do that if the dough isn't stretched out.
So technically,
I'm right.
Rimona is mean. Okay, toaster strudels. Nothing can hold a candle to the taste, right?
Yeah.
Like this is dry. This is crusty, and it's like delicious. Objectively, it's laden with sugar and fat.
Yeah.
It's good. But this, like you said, this is warm. It hugs your mouth. It makes you feel like a grandma, but a grandma who came of age. Like, she had to, like, work in the factories during the war and didn't have time to cook. So she's like, yeah, I use canned filling. Like, this tastes like a grandma made something and, like, deep fried a weird item that you've never had before. It's really, really good.
It's really good.
These are not, like, desserts. They're not meant to be eaten for dessert,
also,
right?
I don't think these are substitute goods.
So you think the premise of this podcast is erroneous.
Absolutely erroneous.
What
Josh?
If I told you that this was literally invented to be a substitute good for this? Toaster strudel's original marketing campaign was something better just popped up. Better than what? Pop-Tarts.
That's all fine and dandy. But it just they're so different. Pop-Tarts are shelf stable. Toaster strudel you need to put in the freezer.
I agree.
Like an Eggo.
I think
you
they made.
You know what you should have put instead of Pop-Tarts here? French toast sticks. You ever thought about that? Whenever you're thinking of the creative of the podcast.
Can I say something? I love frozen waffles. And I love frozen pancakes. I grew up on Krusty's frozen pancakes.
I still think
they're great.
Me too.
Frozen French toast sticks are far and away the worst frozen breakfast product. I think they're awful. There's something about them that like is so far from actual French toast.
Really?
Yeah, what is it? It's like the, they're hard, they're crusty.
They're soft in the middle.
They're not, yeah, but they're like still like wet and chewy. Like what? There's a skin on them.
It seems as though you are not following the directions on the box.
I'm probably not.
Yeah, because every time I had them, they were like fluffy on the inside and then kind of a little bit crisp on the outside. Read the directions on the box.
I can't stop eating the Pop-Tart. It calls me like a siren song.
That's me with the toaster
strudel. And it sounds like crazy good. Neither of you remember the Crazy Good campaign.
They had
these weird animated.
Yeah, they're like, crazy good. They do this.
There was one where like a man jumps into a kangaroo's pouch and a kangaroo steals a man's Pop-Tart. Kangaroo eats Pop-Tart. Man is quite mad about it. Jumps into the kangaroo's pouch, starts throwing out like tires and old boots and must plunge his hand into the kangaroo's stomach and rips out a fully intact Pop-Tart. Implying many things about a kangaroo's anatomy that I don't believe to be true. Speaking of these not being substitute goods, we can agree that neither of these should be like a breakfast, right?
This should have been called, the toaster shooter should have been called a toaster Danish.
If it wanted to be a breakfast item.
It is a breakfast item.
Okay, but strudel is not eaten for breakfast. Neither is a tart, to be clear.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're saying like if this wanted to be a direct substitute good of a Pop-Tart, it would have been called a toaster Danish.
Yes.
Do they make toaster Danishes? Because I would like to have them.
They should. What about microwave Danish instead of toaster Danish?
Yeah, why are both of these uniquely toastable product?
I wonder
if more Americans now have toasters or more Americans in, say, 1965.
Probably they do.
You know what I mean?
I'm a toaster oven girl. So I have a toaster oven. Are you toaster oven or are you toaster?
I hate toasters just because I don't make toast. And if I do, mm-hmm. I put it under the full oven broiler. But I almost never make toast. Like, I like bread, but I'll pan fry it. You know?
Okay.
Like I just kind of put bread in a pan with some oil.
Okay. No, see, Danish rings. Oh my gosh. Kellogg's Danish rings?
Wait, Maggie, when were Kellogg's Danish rings invented?
That looks like a Jerusalem bagel.
Wait, hold on. So we have just learned new information from producer Maggie that Kellogg's once invented a product called Danish rings that looks very similar to toaster strudel. Kellogg's owns Pop-Tart, right? Toaster strudel owned by Pillsbury, which is owned by 1968 Danish go-arounds. What happened?
I don't know.
So toaster strudel wasn't just invented, Nicole, to try and compete with Pop-Tart. It was invented because the dearth of Kellogg's Danish rings no longer being on the market. Utterly fascinating. You know what I think is really funny?
That you look like Dwight Schrute more than I thought you did?
No. I was gonna like.
It's the glasses.
I was gonna talk about like.
You look like you could be related to Dwight Schrute.
I was gonna talk about wheat milling production back in the 1800s. Actually,
I'm sorry, I'm not here to bother
you. And is it bad that I act more like Dwight Schrute than I should?
In this podcast, you're pure Dwight Schrute. You're like pure Dwight Schruting it. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Continue.
Pillsbury was the second company in America to use steel rollers to mill wheat. General Mills, number one. General Mills, they wait 150 years, Nicole. 150 years to then buy Pillsbury, but then antitrust laws in America say you gotta give some of it back. General Mills, you own too much. Kellogg's yearly profit, $15 billion. Revenue, whatever. General Mills yearly revenue, $20 billion. Yeah, I mean, these are two men. That's what we're fighting for. We're fighting for the attention of two giant mill production senpais.
So this is Kellogg's. So Pop-Tart is Kellogg's?
Yeah, founded by, of course, John Harvey Kellogg, who believed in yogurt enemas up the bum-bum.
And then the toaster strudel was invented by Pillsbury.
Illinois congressman. So no. Pillsbury, General Mills. Yeah, it was invented by Pillsbury.
Okay, we're can you do the Pillsbury, the boy noise?
Ooh.
No. Ooh. No, it's like a giggle. It's like, no. Okay. It's like you poke his stomach and he goes, hoo-hoo.
When I think of the Pillsbury Doughboy noise, I just think of Damon Wayans in the movie Major Payne. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Incredible. Somebody look up. I don't know if it holds up, but anyways. He goes and talks to one of his, he's like an ROTC instructor. He goes, and
call
he,
someone Doughboy.
He's also like a commander. Yeah, he goes, if I poke you in the stomach, will you go, ooh, like the Pillsbury Doughboy? And it's like one of my favorite delivered lines ever. I love me some of the Wayne's family. What I'm saying is both of these are desserts, right? They're not breakfast.
Well, I like a savory dessert. Well, I like a savory breakfast more than a sweet breakfast. So I agree.
Yeah. We have to look, though, at the utility of both of these being eaten for breakfast. You know what I mean? I will say, this mimics strudel more than this mimics a tart.
Okay, Josh, you need to think about who this is marketed to. This is marketed to children.
60% of Pop-Tart consumers are children.
You have to think about this from like a busy consumer, like mom, dad, whatever. So you're trying to get your kid to shut up while it's the morning time.
Oh,
and the only way you can get them to shut up is if they do creative activities a lot of the time. So like they're busy with their food. And the toaster strudel does that because they have this little snot rocket of icing where they can draw on their food. You don't get that.
Give them a Sharpie and a Pop-Tart.
Why would I do that?
So they can't eat
Sharpies.
I think it's
a better product.
Having screaming children, being a screaming child yourself, Pop-Tarts are significantly better because there's not a 5-minute wait time of putting this in a toaster, you know, and then waiting for it to cool. Oh my God, imagine how your child, Nicole,
you
your beautiful
it
large son will just be screaming, wah, ah. I want to watch YouTube on my iPhone 19. He will scream. And it's going to keep going for 3 minutes while that's there. Then he burns his mouth and goes, ah!
No.
You know, shut him up with Pop-Tart. It's quick. It's there. You don't even have to toast it.
Josh, if you have a large son and they have problems with timing.
Julia's uncle's like 6'5". My son's going to be so big.
I think you're going to have a waifish child. They're going to have to bottle feed till they're 9.
Sickly Victorian ones.
No, God forbid. You're going to... So whenever you have a child and they have no patience, you know what you do to test the filling? You cut it in half and you put it on your chin to see if it's hot enough.
What the hell are we talking about? I'm talking about the Berlin Wall. You know, 5 years before, it made work toaster strudels the reason why.
Josh!
You know, they might have... I give the
Josh.
Win to... What? Go ahead.
Who wins in the debate versus Pop-Tarts and toaster strudels?
Toaster strudels taste infinitely better. However, Pop-Tarts had 20 years of just advanced marketing campaigns preying on the whims of children. I will continue to buy Pop-Tarts till the day I die because of the Tobey Maguire Spidey Berry Pop-Tarts that I loved so, Nicole. Also, Pop-Tarts, I think more utility. It's a grab-and-go breakfast item. This is effectively a substitute good for a granola bar, which we've all seen have a massive rise. People, Americans now, are too hurried, too just mired in wage slavery to even pour themselves a bowl of cereal, Nicole. That's why people don't do it. They're eating yogurt out of a cup. They're sucking down Pop-Tarts. There's no room in American society to eat toaster strudel. We don't even have 3 minutes anymore.
I say make room. Make time. Life's precious. Do things that make you happy. Do things that make you feel good. If that's drawing boobs on toaster strudel, do it. It's better than Pop-Tarts.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. And now, well, it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the universe. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
But before we get to that, it's everybody's favorite segment, Review a Review, where I am going to review one of your reviews from Apple Podcasts. Please go to Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars.
Please give us 5 stars. We're like Uber drivers. Give us 5 stars.
Yeah, we need them or else we get fired from podcast.org. all right, first up, we got Leah Fine. Fun and funny food fans. The two hosts are young, funny, and interact like siblings in the best way. Enjoyable debates interspersed with foodie information. Good guests and engaging topics. I rate that 5 stars.
That's a 5-star review.
Leah, you really covered the breadth of it, and you called us young.
Do you think we interact like siblings?
I think so, yeah. I think we have a jocular sort of style with each other, kind of needling in each other, but in a way that we obviously respect each other and you have a close
I don't think me and you operate like siblings, actually.
What do you think we operate like?
I don't know.
Like podcast co-hosts?
I don't know, no.
Because that feels weird and impersonal. If I just said I think we're like siblings and you're like, we're just podcast.
We're not, like, though. I think we're just friends.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you were my sibling, I'd be a lot harsher with you. Like, a lot harsher.
Don't do that. I can't handle it.
A lot harsher with you. Like, a lot harsher.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like you'd, like, if I was your sister, like, you'd put me in a headlock or something.
I have never assaulted Nicole at work, to be clear.
I feel like you do a lot of this.
I've never
noogie noogie.
I don't. I've never noogied Nicole or any other coworker.
But if we were sibling, like, if you had a sibling that was, like, a year, because I'm a year younger than you, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you had, like, a year younger than your sister, you wouldn't give her, you wouldn't noogie her?
I don't know, because I was the younger. I can only speak from the younger sibling's perspective. My brother used to pin me down. He'd go... And then he would, like, droop a loogie down and go, and then spit it up. But, of course, like, that loogie is going to fall one day, and it's going to hit you in the eye, and you start crying. And then he goes, I didn't even mean to. I was trying to do a funny joke. And you're like, a joke to who? Joke for who? It's not a joke for me. Getting spit on my face.
So, yeah, I don't think, also, like, I'm, like, if all my siblings are so much older than me, and, like, it's so impersonal, like, yeah. I don't even know them.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're siblings.
All right, Maggie, play that first opinion.
Hey there, Josh and Nicole. So I was making a potato curry, Indian style, and I realized my coconut milk had expired. So I substituted it with condensed sweetened milk and added a bunch of limes, lemons, and some rice wine vinegar, to help make it a little less sweet. And I bet if you gaslight someone hard enough, they could think it's a traditional Indian sweet dessert.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
What I would have done if I was him is not used any sort of milk.
I would have used evaporated milk.
Well, he didn't. He obviously didn't have evaporated milk. He had a can of sweetened condensed milk.
Well, if you have, can I just say something? If you have a can of sweetened condensed milk, you should probably also have a can of evaporated milk.
I have never owned a can of evaporated milk in my lifetime.
Okay.
And
I think you're lying.
Why would I lie? What would I have had evaporated milk for?
I don't know. Maybe to make mac and cheese.
I have not made mac and cheese inside my home
in
probably years. When's the last time I would have made mac and cheese?
For some sort of, I don't know, cookbook that you wrote when you were younger?
First time Julie and I went out drinking and I went back to her place was...
Shrimp quesadillas?
No, that was the second time.
This is another story.
The first time is when I had to raid her house for something to make.
Uh-huh.
And I made mac and cheese with, like, skim milk chickpea banza pasta.
Oh, disgusting.
And, like, Mexican blend shredded cheese with all the anti-caking agent. And
I bet it was kind of good.
It was pretty good. It hit the spot. I put some turmeric in it to make it yellow. Inventive of him to have done that.
It's a choice.
It's a choice.
Not one I would make, but.
I am very interested in sweet potato-based desserts. Not sweet potato-based, but sweet, potato-based.
I like the gaslighting part.
The gaslighting part's fun.
Yeah. I'm into it.
A little bit of sort of emotional terrorism on
this
part.
Let us know how it goes.
That's big about food. I would love to try this, but also if I were you, I would have simply substituted nothing for the coconut milk. I would have just thrown some more butter in there, and that probably would have been a very delicious potato curry dish. But you have invented something new.
Good for you.
The origin story of many new inventions. Somebody just being a completely hapless schlub.
That's right.
What's up, y'all? My name is James. I'm from Salt Lake City. But I live in Cincinnati now, and that's only relevant because of this particular opinion. So I generally, as somebody not from this part of Ohio, I generally find that Cincinnati cuisine is pretty repulsive. Cincinnati chili, I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. However, I have to say that a Cincinnati Coney is much better, miles better, worlds better than a Philly cheesesteak. That's all I have to say.
Those are not substitute goods.
What is a Coney? Is like a Coney dog?
Coney dog. So Coney's a chili dog, right? But the Coney dog was invented in Detroit.
Coney Island? Oh.
No, not Coney Island.
Why
it's named after
Coney
Island. Hot dogs were sold in Coney Island a lot. So Detroit, there's two spots that claim to have invented the Coney. I can't remember it, but it's a Detroit thing, and it's got a very sort of thin meat-based chili
on it. Who can keep up?
I don't think the chili, though, is related to Cincinnati chili, which, of course, is based off of, I believe, a Macedonian dish that a Macedonian immigrant made in Cincinnati. I have never had a Coney from either Detroit or Cincinnati, but I love hot dogs covered in meat water.
I want to go to Tommy's.
You've never been to Tommy's?
No, but when I drive by it, I'm like, I'm going to go, but I never go.
Tommy's world famous original chili cheeseburger in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I really want to go.
It's, their chili is almost too thick and starchy and fatty for me.
Oh.
It's good, but it's not like a Coney sauce. is very kind of thin and watery. And it's heavily spiced. Tommy's Chili, which we grew up with a lot of like chili dogs on the West Coast, coming from a lot of these sort of roadside stands that would also serve bean burritos, pastrami sandwiches, teriyaki bowls, stuff like that. Very reflective of the cultures of Los Angeles, especially back at the time. And Tommy's is kind of like the forefront of that. It was like the biggest chain. Their chili burgers. Wild. Chili burgers, too, never quite done it for me.
Okay. You know? Still going to try it. One day I'm going to try it.
You should. They have thick slices of tomato, thick slices of onion. Mm. Tommy's is a fun time.
Yum.
I have nothing against Tommy's, but I would like to go to Detroit and try the Coney's. Also Cincinnati.
I don't have an opinion on this, really. Sorry.
Wait, why take a pot shot at the Philly cheesesteak?
I don't know.
It was weird. That was weird to me. That was weird that he did that.
I'm sorry.
I don't like that. It's a good sandwich.
Sorry. Also, I'm sorry about calling you like similar to Dwight Schrute.
You called me like pig anus in a previous episode, so that's cool.
Oh, well, that's fine. We wrote that intro together.
Yeah, we did. I was like, you cool calling me a pig butthole?
And I said, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty funny. The Dwight Schrute was a little bit, I don't know, out of left field.
No, I think he's probably the most engaging character, the most like line for line funniest character in The Office.
I think Creed is the funniest.
Oh, you're correct. Creed is the funniest in The Office.
Yeah. Also, haven't really watched
If I can't scuba, what's this all been for? Come on.
I haven't watched The Office much. Okay, next opinion.
I've been sprouting grains in my desk.
Hey, Josh and Nicole. I just had a random question for you guys. If your favorite song was a food, what food would it be? Love the pod. Bye.
What's your favorite song?
Of all time?
Yeah.
I have a lot, but my end-all, be-all song that I've listened to most and enjoyed listening to without skipping is Layla by Eric Clapton.
Okay.
Did you expect that?
No, not at all. I didn't know you listened to The Clap.
I don't.
The Clap Man.
I don't. That's just one song.
Or Eric Clappy Claps. What would Layla be as a food?
Hmm. I'm like playing the intro. I don't know. Probably some sort of pulled beef situation.
Why?
Because of the way that the guitar goes, oh. The way they're pulling the strings, it's kind of like, and it's like grunge goes, and then it goes again, and then it goes, I'm really wailing right now. And then it goes, what do you do? Da, 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 da. And then it goes into this really pretty, Layla, you got me on my knees, Layla. Probably nachos, Tower of Nachos with some pulled beef around. And then some jalapeno slices, like pickled jalapeno slices. And that's it.
So I'm wearing the Vended shirt right now.
I don't know what Vended is.
Vended, it's a lovely, lovely new metal band.
Can't help you.
They do good work. Salmonelli recently. Their song Dead to Me.
Is that your number one favorite song of all time?
It's a fantastic song. Number one favorite song of all time is like, such a difficult question.
Go deep into your mind.
Sinner Man by Nina Simone.
Oh, that is your favorite.
And it would be a Cinnamon Roll. I think that's the best song ever written. But like recent song, like most played this year, has been Make Me Famous by Kim Dracula, which has so many different sounds and it just punches you in the face constantly. It's constantly like changing harmony. There's no harmony. I don't even know what a harmony is. It just punches you in the freaking face with all of the sounds and all the genres. If I think of food that punches you in the face with every single flavor, I think of Thai food. I think of papaya salad. Like a good northern Thai papaya salad with like fermented mud crab in it. That's Kim Dracula, Make Me Famous. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'm pulling up my most listened to songs.
With like Sai Ua, the sausage. You get a side of Sai Ua sausage with like a papaya salad. I think that's Kim Dracula's Make Me Famous.
Okay. Apparently, like there's something on Spotify where you can go to like songs you've listened to. Your top. Do you know what I'm talking
about? Shout out to guitarist for Vended, Connor Grudzinski. He watches Mythical Kitchen.
Your top songs 2022. My number one most listened to song.
He makes the recipes sometimes.
It was What You Need by Kay Trinada featuring Charlotte Day Wilson.
Lead singer Griffin Taylor. You do good work. What's up?
I think that song would be a lime popsicle.
Wait, what was your most listened to song?
Of 2022.
Yeah.
What You Need by Kay Trinada featuring Charlotte Day Wilson. I think it would be a lime popsicle.
That's good.
Let me think. Hold on. Yeah. Okay, line pops.
Wait, Maggie, play the next opinion. I'm going to find my most listened to song.
Hey, I am Caden from Warwick, Rhode Island. And honestly, love the podcast.
Thanks, dude.
But I just got to say, I don't know why, but I have
a really weird texture problem. I'll eat foods and I can't get over the texture. My family thinks I'm crazy. They say that I'm just being overdramatic and I just need to suck it up and swallow them. But I can't. It makes me gag. Am I crazy or...
Nah, dude.
What's the problem here?
I just threw up in my mouth.
Thank you. Bye. Love the pod.
Thank you for calling. One, you're not crazy at all. And two, even if somebody thinks the advice is just suck it up and do it, it's rarely ever helpful to say. A lot of people have textural aversions to food.
Sure.
And some people can sort of get over them naturally. I remember when I was a kid, my grandma made me eat a slice of raw tomato. She's like, you cannot get ice cream unless you eat this slice of raw tomato,
sure.
Big old thick, unripe tomato. And the texture of the tomato seeds made me physically gag. And now I pop tomatoes like candy. I love them. I ate a bunch of cherry tomatoes last night. So I sort of naturally got over that. But I think the big thing is you shouldn't create negative emotions around food, especially when people are young.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I believe in that. I think it should always be about encouraging and never like suffering.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think you should try things and, you know, maybe it's just the amount that you're eating. Maybe cut it into smaller pieces. Maybe, I don't know. I don't really have an answer for that. I feel like that's more like a medical problem more so than a two jabronis with a food podcast question. That's just my opinion. Just try smaller portions and, you know, don't give up. Season it with stuff you like. Salt, sugar, pepper, spicy stuff.
Try and think about the complex nature of good and bad. That good doesn't necessarily exist and that something that you currently think is unpleasant isn't necessarily bad. And won't always be bad.
Great example.
Next time you have a texture in your mouth that you don't like, let it sit there and think about it. Like, really think about what it is that you don't like about it. And I feel like...
Journal it.
Yeah. Think about it. Like, be very meditative about it.
I used to hate mustard. Used to literally poo-poo mustard. Hated mustard more than anything. A few years ago, I ate mustard and I really liked it. Taste buds constantly change. You constantly change. You are ebbing. You are flowing. You are a microcosm in this earth. Don't knock it till you try it. Life's short.
God, we're motivational.
I'm sweaty.
Hi, sweaty. Nice to meet you. I'm Dad. Anyways.
Are we done?
That's all our time
more.
For today. One more. Meggie, come on, please.
Meggie.
Please, Meggie.
You were looking for your song.
What? Oh, my number one song. It's Diazepam by 1056. It's a song about a person on
diazepam. What is that? Is that
like
an SSRI?
Nightmares. Yeah, I think so. Anti-anxiety. What do they call them?
SSRI.
Is that an SSRI?
I don't know.
It's something like that. Anyways, it's like, you know, it's kind of like that.
And what food is that?
I don't know, like gruel, like a spicy gruel. Ooh,
congee.
Yeah, congee.
Okay.
You know? Great. Good band. 1056.
I love Kate Trinata. Seen him twice.
Yeah.
Live.
That's cool.
Like live music.
Can we wrap now or you still want Maggie to do
one more?
Maggie, come on.
Maggie,
one more. One more song.
Come on, Maggie.
But then second was Telescope by Tala.
Okay.
I probably listened to Telescope by Tala more, but 1056 just, that song kind of plays.
My second was Virtual Insanity by Jamiroquai.
Jamiroquai.
Love Jamiroquai. JK was the first man I ever had a crush on. Still do. Come on the podcast. Give your little kiss right here on the forehead. One more. Come on.
Come on, Maggie.
Hey, guys. This is Michael. I just wanted to give you one of my opinions. A hard taco is a cannoli.
Oh.
Now, I know the hard shell doesn't go all the way over like a cannoli does, but it's basically a savory cannoli at that point. What do you guys think?
Sure. Yeah, I'm with it. Are you with it? I'm on the same wavelength as you, Michael.
Little tube. So, cannoli, etymology borrowed from Sicilian, plural of cannolo, which means a cane or tube. So little tube. And then if we look at taquito, taquitos are also, it means little taco, of course, but also flauta is a term that is used for a certain type of hard shell taco. If you look at flauta means tube. Flauta means flute. What's in a flute? A tube. I believe, Maggie, you're an instrumentalist. Flute, tube. Flutes have tubes.
Maggie does not play the flute.
By God, I think you're correct.
Me too.
On that note, thank you all so much for stopping by. A hot dog is a sandwich. We got new audio-only episodes out on Wednesday. Video drops on the Mythical Kitchen channel on Sunday.
That's right. And if you want to be featured on Opinions Like Casseroles, the best part of this podcast, give us a ring and leave a quick message at 833-DOG-POD-1.
Go to the Mythical Kitchen channel and watch the other stuff that we do. That'd be pretty cool. We're very proud of it. Also, listen to Venda. New metal's back. Like, new metalcore.
Honey, new metal never left.